The Ain't No Fang Podcast. From Arizona Sports, Ain't No Fang.
Well, it's not back yet, but baseball is upon us. I'm Steve Zinsmeister with Derek Monti on the Ain't No Fang Podcast, and we felt it was necessary to come back now because there are things to talk about, whether it's Diamondbacks related or MLB related. We cover it all. We're here for you.
I'm just happy to be out of the house, Steve.
I haven't seen you in like 6 months.
I know. It's been a long time, and it feels great to be back talking about baseball. I think that we're excited because, you know, we want to get the talk going about the Diamondbacks so we can talk about, you know, the season already being over for the Diamondbacks.
Oh, no. We are going to kind of paint a not-so-rosy picture today.
Have you seen what the Padres have been doing, Steve?
Let's get into it. I don't remember when this happened. It's all a blur. It feels like roughly a month ago.
That's what happened.
Call it a month ago.
That's what happens in a fight. When you lose a fight, yeah, you don't really remember. It just all kind of came at you at once.
You're like, did he punch me?
There was like six guys punching me at once, right?
There were multiple guys punching me?
And that's what it feels like. And the Padres did pick up multiple guys that will be punching the D-backs quite a bit.
I agree with you on that. It kind of all started when the Padres traded for Blake Snell, who has had his own bit of controversy in the last 6 months or so. You'll remember in the World Series, what was it, Game 6?
Yep.
Where he was pulled very early while dominating, and the statistics probably told you that analytics show that it was beneficial to the team, whatever. He was dominating. They shouldn't have taken him out.
Absolutely.
He was upset about that decision. He made everyone aware of that, and then the Rays do what the Rays do. They did what they do. They traded their ace, which always happens, and now he's in the NL West. And so that was kind of the big move that got the ball rolling.
They traded Blake Hunt, Francisco Mejia, Luis Patino, and Cole Wilcox all to the Tampa Bay Rays for the Blake Snell.
Some interesting players there. I know a lot of people don't follow minor leaguers. Francisco Mejia is probably the most recognizable name there.
Correct.
Because Mejia was a big-name prospect that the Indians traded for Brad Hand. So when that whole deal went down, Mejia was supposed to be the next big thing at catcher. Turns out he's not all that good at fielding, and his bat really hasn't shown up in the majors yet. So that's an interesting guy. Luis Patino, I believe, is the big piece because he is a stud right-handed pitcher. I think he's right-handed. And Patino could end up being the guy that they groom in Tampa Bay to replace Blake Snell.
Right. Well, what's wild about it is to have your team be in the World Series, to have years still left on your star's contract, and to watch that team trade those players away. What a nightmare it must be to be a baseball fan in Florida.
But they're so good at it, too.
They're so good at getting rid of their good players.
Like, I can try to put yourself in the shoes of a Tampa Bay Rays fan right now.
They're trying to follow the blueprint of the Florida Marlins, because the Marlins are the only team that's done that successfully, where they've literally dumped their whole team after winning a World Series and then gone on to just completely rebuild and then win another World Series.
Well, I wouldn't say the Rays are dumping their whole team.
They
didn't have a lot of star players to begin with.
I know. I understand that. But I think my feeling there is, you know, what's the real reason here for trading someone when you guys were that close to a championship and he was such a key factor in getting you there?
I agree with you on that.
Like, it's infuriating as a baseball fan, and I don't even follow. I mean, I'm mad, and I can understand how Diamondbacks fans would be mad because it does affect us, you know, in a way, right? Our sister team in the AL that's supposed to look out for us just completely dumped, you know, one of the best young pitchers to our rival for, I'm not going to say nothing, because they did give up quite a bit of prospects.
Sure.
And
not their best prospects.
Not their best prospects.
Which is even worse for us.
It's even worse for the Rays. Like, what did you really do it for? You know, I know that Blake Snell has had some controversy.
Yep.
You know, in the beginning of the season, he was very vocal about even playing baseball last season. And then his team ends up making it to the World Series. It just doesn't really sit well with me. I don't know. I saw people that immediately wanted them to be like sold and moved out of Tampa Bay over this one deal. And you know what?
They should get a new ballpark.
I don't think that's too drastic of a move.
Okay.
I think Montreal is a great place to move them
or
to.
Or Nashville? Isn't that where they're trying to get a team?
Sure. Well, yeah. Why not?
Vegas?
Why not?
Whatever. Well, I will say this. If any organization has shown that they have a good track record of trading their star pitchers, it's Tampa Bay.
That's very true.
They went to the World Series, 09, I think they lost to the Phillies. Mm-hmm. And they ended up trading David Price not too long after that. They traded James Shields, I believe Matt Garza. They've traded a ton of dudes after they developed them into these great pitchers. So, and they've gotten these pieces, and they grow them, and then they train them again. They're doing it the right way.
Are they?
I believe so.
How many world championships do they have?
Well, how many do the Diamondbacks have?
One, but that's more
in
than the
time
Tampa
that
Bay
we're talking
Rays
about,
have.
Though.
I know. I'm just saying it doesn't
but the,
matter.
But the
when
Rays are competitive
winning.
Every year. Doesn't it seem that way?
It seems like
they're not going to win World Series all the time. But
it doesn't seem like they're bad for very long when they are
right.
bad. Right.
They're competing in a division with the likes of the New York Yankees, the Boston Red Sox, who seemingly win it every couple of years. And even Toronto appears to be one of those teams that has cash to spend in a year when nobody has cash to spend.
And in the last 12 seasons, the Tampa Bay Rays have probably had more success statistically than the New York Yankees, for instance. And the New York
right.
Yankees have probably outspent them 10 times to one.
So this is what the Rays do. They trade their stars at the point right before you think they should get rid of them. They do it. They pull the trigger and it works out.
I don't like it.
I know you don't like it.
I don't like it, Steve.
But it usually works.
I don't care.
As for the Padres, seemingly right after that happened, they also traded for Yu Darvish.
What is that about?
Yu Darvish was second, I believe, in the Cy Young voting behind
yes.
Trevor Bauer. Yu Darvish is insanely good now. I think he's 33 or 34 now. He is starting to look like the pitcher we were promised was coming to Texas back in the day when he came over from Japan after dominating in the World Baseball Classic. Yu Darvish is awesome. And I felt like that was a steal of a trade. They got Yu Darvish and his personal catcher, Victor Caratini, who I can't explain this
That's
trade.
That's so huge. That's
I can't
so
explain
big
it.
To trade somebody like that who's comfortable already with the catcher and have them go to a new team. Where,
and still have that comfort level.
Yeah, right.
It's insane.
It's wild to me. He had statistically one of his best seasons last year. Or at least in years, you know. But he, I don't really know. I don't know what to say other than he, now looking at it, he had his best ERA in a season since he pitched in Japan.
It's nuts.
You know.
It's absolutely nuts.
Kind of at the peak of his career. Maybe that's what Chicago's looking at right now. Maybe in Chicago's mind or in their organization, he doesn't fit their timeline. You know, maybe that's part of it. Maybe the fact that he's really good right now and they don't think that they're going to compete for a couple of, you know, years. Now's the time to pull the trigger before something might happen. You know, you never know what's going to happen. Right now, he's at his highest value possible. You know, yes, he could be better next year, but he's not going to be much better next year than he was this year. That's kind of hard to do.
Yeah.
Know?
Well, so, and you're right. They're clearly going through a refresher in
right.
Cleveland, in Chicago, because, I mean, like, Theo Epstein leaves. We just found out yesterday he's joining the Major League Baseball front, not front office, the office, the commissioner's office.
Yes.
The only office.
Which is totally where, you know, he should be. Like, that is a guy
yeah.
that, I mean, well, don't get me wrong. A team should have snatched him up.
He's
but
probably the greatest baseball executive.
Absolutely.
In the game.
Yep. So him,
definitely current. I don't know about all time.
I just think
he's up there, though.
Him working for the game rather than just one team
yeah.
is going to be great for baseball.
It's beneficial,
yeah.
for sure. So Chicago's going through something. There's no doubt about that. But then also with the Padres, so not only do they trade not even their best prospects, but
no,
a bunch of good dudes for two star aces. Not only that, they're working on a contract extension for Fernando Tatis, who is arguably the greatest player in baseball right now. And then also, definitely the most exciting player in baseball. And also, they signed a Korean shortstop who is like the MVP superstar of the Korean League. And he's just going to be a backup. Just a backup infielder. for the San Diego Padres.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, Mike Clevinger comes back next season.
2022.
So they're going to be even better in 2022 than they are in 2021,
so
whatever,
right,
however good they are, because we don't know. But Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, Chris Paddock, Denelson Lamet.
And Mackenzie Gore is the best left-handed starting pitcher prospect in baseball, and he's probably going to be in the majors. And that doesn't even account for any of the guys they've had throw in the past.
Why did you want to start talking about the Padres again? This is
bad news for the D-backs.
No, yeah, that makes sense. It's bad news.
I know that games aren't won on paper.
Yeah,
and
they're played inside of TV sets.
And rarely does the best team on paper win the World Series.
Mm.
They have a better chance.
Yeah,
certainly the Dodgers have had that effect the last couple of years. But you look at the Dodgers. Let's talk about them for a second. Pedro Baez leaves. I don't think that's a huge piece. He's a reliever, but he's a good one.
Really good reliever.
Today, DJ LeMahieu picked the New York Yankees. He's going to go back to New York. That is a
thank God
huge deal
yes.
for the Diamondbacks in terms of competitive advantage with the Dodgers, because if the Dodgers signed LeMahieu and played him at third base, that's the best team in baseball.
By the way,
and they already won the World Series.
The combined contract for DJ LeMahieu, Giancarlo Stanton, and Gerrit Cole is going to be $80 million this year, which is more
Yikes.
Than the entire payroll for the following teams.
Okay.
The Minnesota Twins,
yeah.
Kansas City Royals,
uh-huh.
Arizona Diamondbacks,
wow.
Milwaukee Brewers, Texas Rangers, Detroit Tigers, Oakland A's, Seattle Mariners, Tampa Bay Rays, your Tampa Bay Rays, your Cleveland Indians.
I don't like that they're my Tampa Bay Rays.
The Miami Marlins, the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the Baltimore Orioles. Just those three players.
So you're saying the Yankees have money?
A little bit. We've talked about it before, but the Yankees are just a business, right? The Yankees are bigger
yeah.
than baseball. They have marketed themselves in other countries where they are this legendary thing. You know,
the Yankees are a city.
Yeah, yeah.
I know New York City is like the world's greatest city or whatever, but the Yankees feel like synonymous with the city. And I don't know a single other team in baseball that feels that way. Maybe the Cubs in Chicago, but there's another Chicago team. So, and I know there's a Mets team too. I know that, but
right.
they don't feel like New York City. They
no,
feel like Queens.
The Mets, well, you know, the Mets made a big signing, you know,
yeah.
this offseason as well. So.
Well, big trade with
Lindor.
Lindor,
yeah. You know,
and we can get into that in a second.
Well, but it's still the Mets, so whatever. Anyway.
Fair enough.
The Yankees have like a museum that's open year-round, you know, sponsored by a bank. And,
of course.
You know, and they have just this different deal when it comes to their merchandising rights and, you know, their whole thing. I'm surprised they don't have a theme park attached to their, you know, stadium yet.
That's coming in 2022,
It's coming. But no, I mean, they are definitely able to spend in a way that other teams aren't. They just don't care. And they do it in a way where they're still unsuccessful, which is so shocking.
Yeah. Well, and what's interesting about the LeMahieu contract is he got 6 years, $90 million. That's $15 million a year, if
yes.
I'm doing the math right.
Roughly. Unless they like, you
I think
know, mix
he's
it up.
32. So this is going to be his last big contract. And he preferred long-term stability over short-term high average value. So
sure.
He goes with $15 million a year. I think DJ LeMahieu is worth much more. If we were talking 1 year contract, he'd be worth much more than $15 million, maybe double that.
Yeah.
He led the league in hitting last year.
Yeah.
And he's done it several times on several different teams, playing several different positions. So this guy's really, really good. And they got him for $15
million. I could see him getting $50 million over 2 years from another team, you know, especially.
He could have, probably.
To, you know,
but
really
then does he make
away.
Good money in 2 years?
Right. No,
I don't know.
That's very true.
I mean,
and also the fact that there's, you know, there's this thing right now that's going on where people want to play for the Dodgers because they've grown up loving the Dodgers. And the Dodgers, once again, are one of those franchises that are bigger than baseball. They're big in other countries. People just idolize that team and they want to be a part of that franchise. The Yankees are the other team like that. I mean, don't get me wrong. People feel that way about all sorts of organizations personally, but you just grow up wanting to wear a certain thing. If you love baseball and if you love football, you wanted to, you know, probably be a Cowboy or whatever, you know, 49er. There's just teams that are iconic that kind of transcend the sport a bit. And it helps to want, you know, to get players to want to stay that, you know, like there's just something about being a Yankee, you know, there's no mystique with being a Diamondback yet, you know.
But no, there is. There's exposure, too. I mean, obviously, the television markets matter to players. Living in Southern California would matter to players. I mean, LeBron.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
LeBron.
Absolutely.
And everybody that's followed LeBron to the Lakers, right. Unfortunately.
Well, and that's another, you know, again, the same exact thing. Another franchise that just kind of transcends the sport. It doesn't always work out, but in some cases, like what happened with the Lakers and the talent they were able to attract with LeBron there,
yeah,
it worked, you know.
Let's talk a little bit about the Lindor trade. Not so much what it means for the Indians or what it means for the Mets, but what it means for the financial stability of these teams around Major League Baseball and possibly even the Diamondbacks, because the Cleveland Indians are, I think I read, the most successful. And what I mean by successful, they've won the most games over the last decade in Major League Baseball. That's a pretty good thing to have under your belt, especially for a small market team. The Cleveland Indians, a homegrown player of Francisco Lindor's caliber, is rare in and of itself. The Diamondbacks don't have a lot of those guys who are homegrown players that turned into that level of player. Nonetheless, one who is so beloved around the league. Francisco Lindor's smile, his leadership, what he did in the World Series in 2016, they had to move that guy because they just couldn't pay him. And I don't know that that's exclusively a 2021 issue because of the pandemic and nobody having money. I think a lot of people felt even before the pandemic they were going to have to move Lindor. But doesn't it speak to the state of not only the teams but the league that we're well into January and most of the big name free agents still have not signed? Francisco Lindor is getting traded because his team just can't even afford him a year from now. What does that mean? How does that speak to you about the financial state of baseball?
I think it's teams finally getting on board with being realistic. You know, there's no longer that thing about wanting to keep a star player that's going to attract fans and have people come to the ballpark. There's just this realization that they're going to sell as many tickets to the opposing team's fans as they are, you know, to their fans when the team is bad. They just want to sell tickets, right? But it's being realistic. It's rebuilding at a time where you know that paying this one player and having them on your team isn't going to be enough for your team to be successful. That's one thing that the Arizona Diamondbacks have to be very realistic about right now. The teams in their league, not only is the World Series champion in our division, but as we discussed, the aforementioned Padres are this a sleeping giant that just woke up.
A super team on paper.
Yeah, it's wild. You know, I don't really know what to do, what to, you know, like advise the Diamondbacks to do, for instance.
You can't spend your way into competing with those two teams.
You can't, because you can't get that caliber of players right now available on the market without overspending and putting
selling
yourself
the farm
in a position where you're not going to be successful as a business. I think that's the harsh reality of baseball teams and any sports team. It's also a business. So without fans in the stands, you're hard pressed to have a team that doesn't, you know, for instance, move that merch regularly to compete, you know, especially during this pandemic. The teams that are still able to generate revenue in other ways, those are the teams that are still going to have money to spend. The Diamondbacks, you know, aren't necessarily able to do that. Luckily, excuse me, Chase Field recently opened back up to, you know, have events and things at it. But again, the pandemic, we're not even able to have,
right,
you know, those events during the offseason there. It's very complicated for this team. And it's definitely a time period where, you know, a couple of guys that are getting paid quite a bit aren't necessarily in line with, you know, the young players and what this team's looking to do in the future.
Well, and I think that people don't realize how baseball was affected financially versus other sports. Baseball's entire season was played during the pandemic.
Correct.
It's not like last season's basketball season where half of it had fans, the other half didn't, or the NFL season, which was entirely during the pandemic, but some teams had fans, some teams didn't.
Right.
So baseball took this huge hit where every team lost tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars in some cases. And baseball is also different because it's one of those leagues where teams get to decide how much they spend on their team, whether it's payroll or promotions or anything, or international signing day, international signing period starts today, and teams are signing up players, and you get to decide basically how much you want to spend internationally. There is a cap, but you know, you could spend all of it, you could spend none of it. And so in baseball, it's like that. Whereas in the NBA, everybody pretty much spends 80 to 100 million on their team.
Mm-hmm.
NFL, pretty much everyone uses most of their cap space, except for the worst teams like the Jets.
Sure.
So
there's no need to.
That's just, example.
Why do we need to spend that?
Came to the top of my head. But yeah, baseball is so different in that you can choose to not spend any money for a long period of time if you wanted to. The Astros were the worst team in baseball for like 3 or 4 years in a row because they chose to be. They chose to not spend any money.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs did it too. And you know what? They won World Series mm-hmm. right after that.
Both teams did.
So I don't want to say that you have to tank like that to win a World Series. Clearly
right.
you don't.
Right.
Look at the Dodgers. But I think that some people, like I've gotten a lot of tweets that say, Steve, when are the Diamondbacks going to trade some of their prospects and get some good players? Or when are they going to go and sign the big free agent? Like that guy would have been a great signing for the Diamondbacks. And I'm like, guys, you got to realize, I don't think the Diamondbacks have a lot of money to wiggle with.
Yeah.
And they didn't before the pandemic either.
Right, but they really don't now, especially now that we're in that middle portion of Bumgarner's contract. And
oh, yeah.
You
that's going to bump up to what, 18 this year?
Yeah.
It was $6 million in the first year.
I think
it's 18 or 20 this year.
Yeah, it might even be higher than that. I'm going to take a
look. So that might affect their free agent spending this offseason. Now, listen, how many things do the Diamondbacks need? I personally think that they need a lot of things solidified. But really, what hits me is the Diamondbacks still don't have a center fielder.
Yeah, the Starling Marte trade really said a lot about the direction of this team.
It's a turning point moment.
It really was, just because, like, Starling Marte is the exact kind of guy we need right now. Like, that's the exact player that I would want them to go after. And yeah, we're at $19 million, by the way, next season. Whereas last year it was 2.2. Well, his payroll salary was $6 million last year.
Yeah.
But $19 million.
So that jumps up.
Then $23 million next year and the following year, and then $14 million the final season. Their only hope with Bumgarner, to be honest, is for him to come out and kill it in 2021 and then trade him. I mean,
that would probably be the ideal scenario.
Because
I think you and I are on the same page that the Diamondbacks are not on a timeline right now. They're not in a phase where they compete.
It's exactly what we're talking about with the Cubs. You know, Yu Darvish has his best season, but they trade him.
You may have good players, but
you don't
you
have
kind
enough.
Of know that you've peaked.
Right. And not only do you know that you peak, but you also know that you're not going to get any better of a performance. You know what I mean? Like, that's the best Darvish is going to look.
Right.
And you know you're going to get the highest return for him at that point.
Even though it didn't feel like it.
Yeah. But. You know, it didn't. It's just, you know, there's a lot of factors there, including his age. Like, I know he's, you know, he looks great, but he's, you know, been around for a long time. He's had a lot of seasons, and you know, he started pitching in Japan in 2005. So this will be his 16th season.
That's
pitching
crazy.
At a major league level, right? I don't know. I think that it's smart if, you know, again, an aging pitcher or his contract doesn't match up with, you know, your timeline and you can get something in return. The Diamondbacks had to make that tough decision with Paul Goldschmidt, you know. Luckily, he didn't go over and start hitting 400 with 100 home runs every season for the Cardinals, but still, it was painful to, you know, have somebody that's meant so much to this fan base and this team to have them go before, you know, it was their choice to go at the end of a contract.
Right.
It's just smart business for a team to try to get as much as they can in return, you know, for a player like that.
And fortunately, they took a leap of faith in that instance and they played Christian Walker, who had earned that job in the minor leagues but hadn't hit in the majors yet. And they took that leap of faith, and I think Christian Walker performed just as well as Paul Goldschmidt did in his first season.
He's done as good as you could have expected him
for $500,000 or whatever it was, as opposed to $25-30 million. So yeah, they took the leap of faith and it worked out.
That's the crazy thing about baseball, is there are big names and there are big players, and it matters, right? When you look at what the Dodgers have put together, they're the combination of young talent that is peaking right now and all-stars that are at the top of their game, you know, top dollar all-stars like Mookie Betts and you know, Clayton Kershaw, things like that. They just had the right formula for it to finally all come together for a championship. You know, I think that you have to look at all of that. But a baseball team can also be successful in the same way that the Rays were. You know, that's the wildest thing about baseball. You could have a payroll that's next to nothing, or you could have the highest payroll in baseball, and then those two teams somehow both made it to the championship.
Yeah, they're both really, really good.
Yeah, right. I mean, it makes sense for a lot of teams to continue to try to find diamonds in the rough rather than trying to sign the next big name. Typically, those guys get those big contracts worth a lot of money, and they can let their foot off the gas just a little bit. You know?
Well, one of the biggest names in baseball in the postseason was Randy Arozarena. 6-7 months ago, I couldn't have told you who Randy Arozarena was. I couldn't have told you what team he was on.
Absolutely.
Couldn't have told you who drafted him or signed him.
Yeah.
Couldn't have told you. And then he comes out with the Rays, of all teams that we're talking about, and breaks the MLB record for most home runs in a postseason. I've never heard of the guy before, and now he's the best player in baseball.
It's wild, right?
It's like, crazy.
It's kind of like, you know, the opposite, where a player that you used to watch smack, you know, 35 home runs a season, all of a sudden can't hit one anymore.
And yeah, he comes out and he can't do anything.
And you're sitting
Albert
there,
Pujols is the best example I can think of.
Absolutely.
Dominated for a decade, can't do anything anymore.
Ryan Howard, you know?
Yeah.
Right? Guys like that. And you just watch them, and you almost feel sorry for them watching them, because you're just like, what happened
to you?
You're
like, where are you?
That's how ridiculous of a game baseball is.
Yeah, it's true.
It really is a game where you of streaks, and it's a game of writing, you know, kind of finding the right groove and trying to stick in that groove as long as possible. We saw that with Zach Gallen, you know, the young talented pitcher that the Diamondbacks should be building around at this point.
And I think they're trying to.
And trying to, right?
Yeah.
And just getting the right pieces now to fit around Zach Gallen before, you know, and making him, if he can continue to be as good as he has been, making him the real centerpiece of this organization.
Let me make this analogy, and you tell me if I'm way off base. Mike Hazen and Amiel Sade, who are running this organization, came from Boston, where in the year, would have been 2011, under Theo Epstein, they had a draft class that was considered legendary. That included Mookie Betts, included Jackie Bradley Jr., Matt Barnes, a couple other guys that ended up being key pieces in their championship rebuild. This is 2011. Theo leaves. In comes Ben Cherington. And Ben Cherington laid out a three-phased approach to winning a championship. First phase was acquire core position players that we can build around that will eventually help us win 5-6 years down the road. Right?
Right.
So that's phase one. Phase two is we start to phase those guys into the major league club. And we try to teach them a little bit. And, you know, we got some veterans, but we got those guys. And then phase three is we
fight
supplement.
Oh,
right.
No,
yeah. Sorry.
Thanos
comes back.
Right,
we fight him. Yeah.
You.
The whole thing.
No, I'm sorry.
Phase three, you win the championship. Phase three, you supplement those guys by signing big name pitchers, trading for guys, whatever the case may be. And it was fairly successful in Boston. Now, granted, they accidentally won the 2013 World Series in phase one of that whole thing.
Yeah.
But
hey,
but the 2018 World Series, when they won,
was really
is what
they
were building towards.
Right.
When they had Xander Bogaerts and Mookie was at his peak and Andrew Benintendi. And then they went out and supplemented those guys with a trade for Chris Sale and other pieces. And so if you're the Diamondbacks, being run by the guys who ran that organization at that time, are they doing something similar? And if they are, my argument is we're still in phase one.
We are absolutely in phase
one. Because if you look at the Diamondbacks lineup, the position players, who there is homegrown recently that is like re-energized the team? They really don't have that. And I know that Nick Ahmed is a homegrown player and he's extended for a couple more years.
Ketel Marte.
Not homegrown. They traded for him.
Oh,
and he was the throw-in of that deal, remember?
That's right, from Seattle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ketel Marte, I think, is still a great player. He had a really bad year this year, but I think the potential is still there for him to be a stud you can build around. And he's still young. I think he's 27 or 28. But I just don't feel like this team is in that spot where you should go out and make trades for big names or to sign big free agents. I don't think we're there yet.
See, I'm focusing on, you know, the Zach Gallen, Alex Young, Merrill Kelly
yes.
kind of, you know, core. And
Merrill Kelly is over 30.
He is over 30. Well, but you get what I'm saying.
But he was fantastic for probably a month or two.
Yeah. And
probably 2 months.
He's still young in MLB years. This is only his third season coming up.
That's true.
I just think that they definitely have, again, Eduardo Escobar is over 30. And, I think that he's another guy that they need to stick around, for a little while longer too.
I think that there's significant rumors, though, that Eduardo Escobar will be a piece that gets moved this year, mostly because he's on such an affordable deal that I believe is expiring after this season. And you remember when they acquired Eduardo Escobar, that was a great acquisition where he
really
led the league in doubles that year.
Yeah.
He can play multiple positions. He's a great clubhouse guy. He's a hard worker. Things didn't exactly work out this past season. He wasn't really hitting well, but that was 2020 for a lot of guys. And so I don't know. Eduardo Escobar, I'm not sure. Cole Calhoun, over 30. David Peralta has had trade rumors this offseason. He's over 30.
Somebody I could see as well. I think that Josh Rojas is another guy that I would probably continue to build around as well.
I'd like to see him get a normal everyday job.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if it's second base and Cattell plays center. Maybe that's the most likely thing that they're going to do with center field. I have no idea what they're going to do. Dalton Varsho plays center field full time for the Diamondbacks.
No.
Is that going to happen?
No. Right now he's listed as their backup catcher right now.
Because Dalton Varsho played center field the second half of the season. And I know that was only a month or two, but Dalton Varsho played more center field than anything else.
Do you remember that time he laid down that bunt?
I know you're excited about his bunting ability.
On the shift? He bunted on the shift, Steve.
I don't think that's going to work out all that often.
Oh, man. That's so good. But I was there for that.
I just want to see that they have a solution going forward. And I know that February is probably late January, early February is when we're going to start to see contracts rolled out and teams are going to start pulling the trigger because they got to get guys in if we are going to have a spring training on schedule, which it sounds like is happening.
That's another thing that's wild because I know that the Diamondbacks are proceeding as normal. And I think that just might be procedural, because they don't know. But we as media didn't get any kind of, delay scheduled for pitchers and catchers reporting or the start of spring training. We received a full spring training schedule.
I don't think they know yet.
Right. I think that that's what I mean. I think that they just for the time being need to proceed as normal. And then
they have to assume that they got to be ready to go. February 25th.
Sure, yeah.
Because late February is usually the first game, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's usually the last couple of days of February, first couple of days of March.
Yeah.
And the schedule we received was a full month-long, didn't look like any kind of abbreviated schedule for spring training.
Do you think if they do have spring training, is there any chance they allow any number of fans?
I don't know. The Coyotes had fans at their game just recently, and I had a friend of mine from Texas reach out to me and say that he wants to come to Arizona to watch a hockey game because no one else is letting fans in the building. I didn't know that was something that was the case. I thought...
Yeah, but this will be a Major League Baseball decision, not an organizational decision.
Well, and what's weird about that to me is that Arizona still is one of the hot spots for coronavirus in the world.
In the world.
Right? Not just in the United States, but per capita in the entire world. So having events, like the Coyotes games confuses me. I mean, it really does.
We shouldn't be doing that.
Don't get me wrong. I went to Medieval Times during this pandemic. I had a blast. It was my only time I went and saw a live event in the last year, Steve.
You just couldn't take it anymore.
I couldn't take it anymore.
I can't sit on this couch any longer.
Yeah, we went and we had a good time. We rooted for the Green Knight. He won. It was a great time.
Fantastic.
It was a great time. But I'm just saying I didn't really feel comfortable the whole time being there. And it was a similar type event where, they had 30% capacity or something like that. And there were huge chunks of, the audience or, were basically taped off. I love that part very much. I wish every event was like that going forward, just period.
I just don't think we're going to see fans at spring training.
If
we even have a spring training.
The difference there is it's outside. And
true.
I just don't know. Maybe we don't have the grassy area open up. And maybe it's just, sporadic seating like some events have been. I don't know. I think that, some spring training ballparks are going to be better for this than others. I don't know, dude. Spring training, that the other thing about it is that is a time of year that brings a lot of visitors to Florida and Arizona, two hotspots for coronavirus.
Yeah.
These could become super spreader events essentially. And, it's it's all about bringing in visitors that come from other places, having them be here, bring, you know, and then go home.
I right? would hope, even if, like, let's say Arizona's governor decides, yeah, we can have fans. Like, we need the economic boost. We can have some fans. Even if he says that, I would hope Major League Baseball would say, nah, no thanks. That's, I mean, I right, you know me. I'm a huge baseball fan. I want to go to spring training.
And I want
you
and people I go, to be there. It's boring when people aren't there, trust me. But I also don't really want people to be there. For me personally, the press box is going to be as crowded as it's going to be regardless. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, going to the games. And
they don't limit that at all?
They do.
I feel like you would need to because those things are packed during spring training.
I haven't gone to – because last spring training, everything was as normal, so I don't know. I know that during the regular season, I was shocked by how few of people were in the press box. It was shocking. There was like five of us at most of the games that I attended. So they definitely limited the number of people that could be in the building.
I just don't think that we're going to see fans in the ballparks. I really don't. Even the regular season until like maybe late summer. That's my guess.
It's just wild to me because as much as I love it as well, I just think that this is one of those times where we're so close, what it feels like to
the end of the pandemic, to getting back to normal.
Yeah, to just the end of this whole thing, right? We've seen other countries do it. Now they're having events again and stuff. You know, like they've had zero cases for like weeks, so they had like concerts and things.
I wish,
was so jealous seeing that on social media.
I wish it was as simple as just setting up a booth at every entrance to the ballpark, and as you go in, they just stick you with the vaccine.
Yeah,
And like, hey, welcome to the ballpark, stick, and then be like, have a good time.
Well, see,
but I know that's not how it works
that's
scientifically.
Not how it works, right? I actually heard Dr. Oz today.
Oh, no.
No, to be honest, it was like the dumbest interview that Dr. Oz probably has ever had to conduct yet, but it wasn't because the person asked real simple, plain questions without fearing that he was going to sound dumb. And it was those it was the exact kind of questions all of us have.
Right.
And Dr. Oz just gave such good answers back about it, you know? Right. And there's things like that where it just feels like we're so close. But yeah, like you still have to avoid after you get the vaccine, like possibly coming in contact with anybody for 10 to 14 days after that.
For it's not as
like
simple as
work, right?
Once you have the vaccine, you can never
get
the virus.
I'm invincible. Right?
Yeah, no, yeah, it's not like that.
It doesn't.
You can still get it.
Unfortunately.
And give it to people. Before we get out of here, you told me a fascinating story that I kind of knew the details to, but didn't know the extent of. And it's the story behind the Diamondbacks almost being called the Scorpions.
Well, Steve Gilbert had an excellent article that he wrote. It wasn't very long.
He's so good, by the way.
He's so good because he comes up with these little things that, again, it's things that people would really find interesting. And Steve's just a really funny, great guy to be around. I couldn't ask for a better person to be like the kind of leader in a way in the media scrums for the Arizona Diamondbacks because he's so funny and he has such a great attitude about all of this stuff, right?
Pro's pro.
You know, but he talked about in this article how the Arizona Diamondbacks almost had a different name. It actually came down to a public contest that allowed fans to submit their suggestions, and the suggestions from fans got whittled down to five final names.
Okay, give them to me.
The Coyotes.
Okay, obviously ended up being the hockey team.
Obviously.
Yep.
The Diamondbacks.
Yep.
The Phoenix, so it would have been the Arizona Phoenix.
Is that kind of like the Miami Heat?
In a way.
The Heat?
Well, and I think
the Phoenix.
You know, I think the Phoenix Firebirds, you know, were kind of a visually cool thing.
Okay.
So
yeah,
it probably would have been something similar to that. The Rattlers, which was a name I loved and always wanted any major league team to steal from the Rattlers.
Became the indoor football team.
The arena team. Actually, I think that was all around the same time. And then last was the Scorpions. So interestingly enough, the Scorpions was the popular choice.
I dig that name.
Steve talked to Rich Dozer, who was the team's first president. And basically there was a lot of talk about the logo being really sharp and a lot of people liking that. And the decision came down to a secret vote where they had people within the organization vote for which answer they liked best. It came down between the Diamondbacks and the Scorpions, and the vote actually came back in favor of the Scorpions.
Huh.
Yes. But apparently,
this is within the organization.
This is within the organization.
This is just fans.
This isn't fans. This is down to the final answer. They had two left.
Huh.
And apparently, the reason why they went with the Diamondbacks is because the Scorpions gave, and I quote, Jerry Colangelo the willies. Jerry Colangelo said, I'm going to make the final decision. I just don't know if I can have a scorpion as a logo. They give me the willies. And next thing you know, the Arizona Diamondbacks are the final name.
That's so great on so many levels because I've had the absolute pleasure. He wouldn't know me if I walked in the room, but I've had the pleasure to sit down with Jerry Colangelo a couple of times and just talk to him here in the newsroom. And you're almost like intimidated by his greatness. And like, this is the guy in Arizona, but also like runs USA basketball. Like he's a legend and has pretty much had a hand in all things sports in the Valley. And I cannot for the life of me picture Jerry Colangelo saying that something gives him the willies.
Oh yeah.
I can't picture it.
Scorpions?
And maybe he didn't say it.
Right.
Maybe it was just insinuated that that was like
sure,
the reasoning.
Sure.
But I like to envision that he said, nah, no way. That gives
yeah,
me the willies.
Yeah. No, we're not doing it.
Yeah. That's such a great story.
Jerry, if it gives you the willies, think about how it's going to make our opponents feel, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They're going to feel so uncomfortable. They're not going to want to play us.
Yeah.
I got to say, though, the Diamondbacks is one of the cooler names in baseball.
Yes.
I've
always liked the Diamondbacks. I always liked the logo. But to be honest, I remember when they unveiled the two teams that were going to be new teams, and our team was one of them. And it was next to the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Which is pretty cool, too.
And I remember just the Devil Rays name and, like, logo,
yeah,
that first logo living in my mind for entirely too long. It's why I couldn't really enjoy the A logo for a number of years.
You almost want to be better than the other expansion. You don't want to be the lesser of the
right,
two expansion
teams. Oh, God,
teams.
Yes. I've always, like, for years, I would check the standings and be like, how are the Rays doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
That's a really interesting story. I got to be honest with you, Derek. I have no idea what we're going to talk about next on this podcast because nothing
either.
Has happened for the Diamondbacks this offseason.
No. Nope.
And I don't know that it's going to anytime soon, but we're going to have to keep an eye on it.
You know what happened? Christian Robinson added 25 pounds of muscle.
Christian Robinson, for people who don't know, is the Diamondbacks' top prospect and I think is starting to get recognition as one of the better prospects in baseball. He's still, 19 or 20 years old right now?
Yeah.
So he's still super young. It's not like I expect this guy to come up anytime soon, but I don't want them to rush him. I don't want that to happen. The Diamondbacks have a lot of good outfield prospects and not a lot else because we got Alec Thomas, we got Corbin Carroll, Dominic Fletcher. Apparently Dalton Varsho is going to be playing outfield and I think is sort of not really a prospect anymore, but kind of. Christian Robinson. So all their best prospects are outfielders. And he's the premier one of all of them. And apparently a guy known for hitting for power, adding 25 pounds of muscle. Sounds good to me.
Keeps Ketel Marte in the infield, which is what we want.
I don't know if Robinson plays center. Does he play center?
Someone plays center.
I think he's a corner guy.
And I want it to not be Marte.
I know. Me too. But I guess we'll find out if the Diamondbacks are going to have a center fielder or not this season. They might just go without. Who knows? I'm Steve Zinsmeister. That's Derek Montias. We thank you so much for tuning into the Ain't No Fang podcast here at ArizonaSports.com and on the Arizona Sports app.